yesterday, with Richie preaching, with Susie in the hospital and everything, Barry had asked me yesterday if I could preach. You know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, because on my computer at home, I got old sermons, I got devotions I've just wrote, and I've got old Wednesday night classes, lessons I've taught before. I got it all on my computer. I'll just pull one of those up and make a sermon out of it. Well, guess what doesn't want to work? My computer, you know? So late last night, I'm chicken scratching. I'm putting all this stuff together. But I hope tonight, what I preach tonight is nothing hard. It's nothing you guys don't hear tonight, don't understand, or don't know. And I hope we leave here tonight, myself included, with just a refresher, and hopefully we leave here tonight with something that we just remember and can bring with us. We'll be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, and the message tonight is a banner of salvation. It's just salvation, all right, and what had taken place. And before I preach, I'd just like to pray real quick. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for gathering every individual here tonight, myself included, that, Lord, I thank you for giving me the opportunity just to be up here tonight, to be in your word, and to present your word and preach your word in such a way that it just changes every heart here tonight, and myself included, that we all leave here with a heavy heart to serve you and to love you in all that we do. In your most precious, powerful name, amen. The message, like I said tonight, is salvation. Nothing hard, nothing difficult. And as we see here in 1 Peter, you know, as we entered the year of 2018, I began to think, you know, Mallory and I were getting ready to have our second child in February. And I was looking back, and with Penelope, you know, it's been 18 months, or almost 19 months now, and I'm thinking, you know, we used to be able to just hold her in the palm of my hand, you know, and now she's growing up so fast, and it's growing up so quickly. Starting to back talk a little bit, you know, but that's normal, I guess. But as we begin to prepare for our second child, I was thinking to myself, there's only so much I can do as a father to prepare my children. There's only so much I can do. I can teach them everything I know. I can show them all the traits that I have. My wife and I, we can teach them all the traits that we have. We can teach them and show them everything we know about this world. We can show them everything we know about the Word of God. We can do everything we can to raise them in a godly home. But in the end, I don't know what the future holds for both my daughters. I have no idea. I can only do so much. God will take ultimate control. God will take so much better care of my children one day than I ever could. So my job here on earth as a father is to do everything I can to prepare them for the worst, to raise them in a godly home, to teach them everything I know about the Word of God, to teach them everything I know about what the world is ahead of them. I don't know what the world's going to be in 20 years, 10 years. Heck, in the world we live in today, next year, I don't know what the world's going to be like. We live in such a fast-paced world. So I have to do everything I can to prepare them in all the capacity that I can. As we look in the scripture, and as we look how we live in such a sin-cursed world, and how we live in a world where we're full of temptation, and we carry this flesh around constantly, there's always been one plan that never had any miscue, that never had any fall. A plan that was going to happen and was going to take place, and that was Jesus Christ. Even from the beginning of time, God knew that he was going to one day send his son to die on the cross for you and I and for the remissions of this world. God, from the beginning of time, knew and understood that was going to take place. And tonight we're going to see that, but that was the plan. There wasn't going to be no other way. That was going to take place one day. You know, we live in a world, we don't know what the future holds for us. We can only do so much. We can only prepare so much until God just has to take control. We have to let God take control. And as we get into the passage tonight, I just want to see the simple plan of salvation is all, really. And I'll begin to read the first four verses of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, whom by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. 4 points I want to look at tonight. And each verse will give one point. And the first point I want to look at is verse 18, the caution. We see here in verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers." This first point I want to see here is the caution. You see, we live in a world today that not all people believe that you can have eternal life by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, we can read in the book of Ephesians, it says verses 8 through 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves it is the gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast." We see and have a clear understanding that our works cannot get us to heaven. There's no question. We see that in the Bible. In fact, does the Bible not say in James, the love of money is the root of all evil? Clearly money, we can read in Proverbs. We can read in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 25, says, "It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." We know that through the scriptures, when studying the scripture and when reading the word of God, we can see that money does not get us to heaven. Peter was the one that said, "For silver and gold have I none." We know that money cannot obtain us eternal life. We know that the only way we can receive eternal life is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We see that all through scripture. There's no doubt about it. But for the world that we live in today, not everybody believes that. Not everybody can see that. There are those who do believe that because the possessions, because the things they have in their life, they think they will have one day eternal life. I'll give you an example. I have an aunt that... Don't know why. She goes to Catholic church one day, and she'll go to a Methodist church one day. She bounces from church to church. Don't know why. And as I'm concerned, she has no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But going from that, my aunt, I've talked to her on several occasions. She owns a really nice home, has a really nice car, has a really good paying job. And from her stance, because of those things, she says, "Well, because God's blessed me with all these things, why would I not get to heaven?" I've had this conversation with her before, and I've told her many, many of times, you know, this is not the blessings all nearly from God. Sometimes these blessings that we receive are not always from God, first off, and secondly, not that they aren't. I'm not to say that they're not from God, but she clearly does not have an understanding of how to obtain eternal life, that these riches and these blessings will not get you to heaven. And so we live in a world today and in a society today that falls under those categories, that because of riches and because of blessings, that they have no need for Jesus Christ. You know, in fact, what the world offers us here is in no comparison with what Christ prepares for us. We study in Scripture that what? Christ prepares us a home, a new home, for many mansions he has. We receive a new body. We're receiving the inheritance of just being with fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for eternity. The world can't offer those things. The world can only offer us those things that will not profit under the sun, when we read in Ecclesiastes. Was Solomon not one of the richest kings in all of Israel at one time? When you read in Proverbs and when you read on Ecclesiastes, well, you can see the riches that Solomon had. We see how wealthy. He had no limitations. Solomon, there was no limitations when it came to Solomon. He had everything. All right? In fact, we did a little bit of study this morning in our Compass class. We were doing a little bit of Solomon, and I was thinking about Solomon, and he had no limitations. At one point, I think he said he had like 40,000 chariots and 12,000 individuals to watch over those. He had pools. He had a sewer system type deal. Solomon had it all. When it came to Solomon, there was no limitation for Solomon. 700 wives. Don't know how that. It's hard enough with just one. she'd say the same about me. But we can see in Scripture that even Solomon, when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon understood that all those things profited none. All those things has no point. He talks about if he builds the house, guess who he leaves it for? The next. Because those things die away. Those things don't come with us. Those things stay here. And so when we read verse 18, the cost is those things can't get us eternal life. And people see those things as blessings and as gift of God sometimes. And so when we read verse 18, the cost of what it can do to our eternal life, if we fall under that category and love the riches and love the money, we may forget what eternal life is all about. We may never receive Jesus Christ. I'm going to take a guess and say that everyone here has a relationship. I see everybody here. I'm going to take a guess and say every individual here knows Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. And so I don't think what I'm saying here tonight, you guys don't know. But we forget that these are people today that really do believe in these things, that really do think that money and riches is all what life holds for them. But what they don't realize is one day they're going to face judgment. They're going to face a God that is just and will only accept us by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The second one is the cost. So the first, the caution. The second one, the cost. The cost was that Christ had to come to earth and shed his blood on Calvary for the remissions of sin. That was the cost. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. The cost was Christ had to come to earth and pay the penalty. That was the cost. You see, we talk a lot about times about how Christ came and he was beaten and he was tormented and by his own people and he was crucified. And I'm not taking anything away from that, but when you really get down to it, he forgave sins that we choose to deliberately rebel against the Lord Jesus Christ. His own people chose to crucify him, his own people, and he forgave them of their sins. You know, when we think about the cost, the penalty that God the Father had to send his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be reconciled with him, to be reunited back with Christ and God the Father. Because when sin had entered the world, we became separated from him. And so he had to reconcile us. He had to bring us back and give us an opportunity where we could one day have eternal life with him. The Savior did not just come to fulfill the law in the Old Testament. He did not just come to establish the church, but he came as that perfect lamb. He came as that lamb that was spotless, that had no sin in their life. The Bible says he became man who knew no sin. And so for the cost of eternal life, it was the mere fact that Christ had to die on the cross. He had to do that. It had to be fulfilled, not just in Old Testament law, but because he understood and knew that we needed a way out of this world. Sacrifices of lamb and sacrifices of dove and sacrifices of the Old Testament law, he put an end to that by going to the cross and shedding the blood for us. So the cost is Christ had to come die for us. That was the cost. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. When we read Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it says this, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. The blood of Christ was foreordained to be shed before the foundation of the world. All right? Before the Father had created the foundation of the world, created its form, created everything, God understood and knew that one day he was going to have to send his Son Christ to die for you and I. You see, God's omnipresent. He understands that. He sees time is limited to him. Time is unlimited to him. He sees everything in one. All right? So with that being said, God understood. He takes present in the foundation of the world to present to future, and a concept that we can't understand because it's God and his almighty and in all of his power. So when it comes to omnipresent, he understood and knew that before he created the foundation of the world that he was going to have to send his Son Jesus Christ to die for us. He understood and knew that sin was going to enter the world, that we were going to be tempted, and that we were going to be walking in this flesh. The Savior, when he came to die on the cross, understood that as well. And so the third point I had here in this verse 20 was the counsel. The counsel. So we see the caution, the cost, and the counsel. The counsel that Christ was going to come way before the world was even being established. And in verse 21, whom by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that he have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this fourth one is the confidence, all right? The confidence that you and I can have. So we see the caution, the cost, the counsel, and the confidence. For those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we know for a fact if we're going to, one day when we die, we know for 110% that we're going to have eternal life. In fact, I was with a couple weeks ago, I met up with a group of individuals, and they had a bunch of questions for me. And so we began talking. And one of my questions to them is, they had a different belief of how to obtain eternal life. I was with two gentlemen, and about my age. And I simply asked them, I said, let me ask you this. If you guys were to walk out these doors right now, can you tell me for 110% that you would have eternal life? And both of them did not know how to answer the question. You see, I'm not boasting, but I can tell you, and I'm pretty sure every individual here in this room who is saved can answer that question. Because the Holy Spirit that we have inside and living and dwelling inside of us is our earnest, the Bible tells us. It's our proof of how we know we will one day have eternal life. If you can't walk out these doors tonight and ask yourself that or answer that question, that you don't know if you are going to have eternal life, then you might have to look inside and say, do I really know and have believe it in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ? Because if you can't answer that question, you may not know the Lord. Now, I'm not to say that you do or you don't. That's between you and God. But we should all be able to honestly answer that question. If I was to walk out these doors, I knew I was going to die today, I would have eternal life. If you can't answer that question, you might have to think about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe do a little digging. Now, like I said, I was kind of bummed out because I didn't have a whole lot. I had to scratch something together. And like I said, there was nothing really that I said or taught that you guys don't know. You guys know it all. In fact, if anybody here is the dumb one, it's me. I'm the youngest here. You guys are the elders. You guys are the smartest. You have the most wisdom and the most knowledge. And don't tell me that's not true, because it is true. I'm not dumb. I know that. But know this. If you can't answer the question, if you don't know if you're going to have eternal life, if you were to walk out these doors and die today, you might have to ask yourself, do I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you can't answer that question, you don't want to end up in eternal damnation. You don't want to one day be facing God the Father and being judged and not know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, I thank you, Lord, just for gathering every individual here tonight. Lord, I pray that as we go about our everyday lives and we go about our business, Lord, that we just all have a personal relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, that we know and have obtained the shed blood and have been washed in the shed blood of your Son Jesus Christ, that we may walk in your light, Lord, and may walk in your commands and may do the things that we've been called to do and to service in service of your Son Jesus and to stay true to you, Lord. And I pray for that in your most precious powerful name. Amen.
Please stand if you would. You know, you never know. We can assume a lot of times that everybody that's in the audience or everybody near us, because they've been faithful or because they've been around for so long, you know, we can assume that they all know Jesus Christ. But you just never know. It might be somebody who's never trusted the Lord as their Savior. Tonight, that could very well be the case. And we would ask that tonight, if you've examined your life and you've noticed